Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Charissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Church, we lift our voice and pray, Father, not
afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Looking Up program. Today is Wednesday, the 2nd of April. We're in April now, and this is a live broadcast coming to you from the Lake Macquarie area where we have a studio. I'm joined in studio today by our wonderful co-host, Danny. How are you?
I'm happy, very happy, praising the Lord, and excited that we're in April already.
Yes.
April Fool's Day has just bypassed us. Yes. Did you survive it?
We did. I actually didn't really remember it. Nothing foolish really happened.
Nothing foolish. That doesn't happen on other days in
my
life.
That's right. Seemed very normal.
So, here we are, and looking forward to another program.
Yes, and we're missing Rochelle today. Her daughter's having a birthday, so means that we are sort of flying blind here, but we hope that we stay live. I'm looking on the screen here. It looks like everything's working. So,
praise the Lord.
If you can hear us, feel free to text us. This is a live broadcast. Our number is 0488-17624. And that's something that people should just save in their phones. The Faith FM Looking Up Show, save the number 0488-17624 because it will help when we have our giveaways and you need to text in a code word. And we do have a giveaway, which we'll tell you about a bit later. But you have any shout-outs to give?
Well, firstly, we are not completely flying blind because you're in the pilot seat.
It's been a while, though. So,
if I was juggling, producing and hosting, then we would be totally blind. But because Charissa's in that spot where we're going to be okay.
That's very generous.
Today we're going to continue our Bible study. I think this is part three, or part four.
Part three, yes.
America, Israel, and Prophecy, part three. So we'll see whether we get through to the end of it or not. But, there's just so much going on in that space when it comes to Israel and prophecy and the United States. And these Bible prophecies that have been around for quite a while in evangelical circles that many Christians have been looking forward to, in fact, since 1948, which is a long period of time, and we're going to talk about that, just really getting attention such as never before because of the things that are transpiring there in the Middle East and in America, and how politics, religion, and prophecy is all coming together from an evangelical point of view. So we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say.
That'd be really interesting.
So, it's very, very interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. Apart from that, we're going to be dealing with, just what's been making news headlines from a Bible prophecy point of view. And as always, there's plenty that has taken place in the last week, Charissa.
Ah, absolutely.
There's been no shortage.
There's been natural disasters.
Including that horrible earthquake in Myanmar and also Thailand, like 1,000 kilometers apart.
It was such a strong earthquake. That's
yeah.
Very sad loss of life there. But, so much to talk about.
Indeed.
And
I'll bring out some spiritual lessons from the earthquake that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about earthquakes. There are some very important spiritual lessons that we can gain from that, because Jesus talks about earthquakes in connection with the end of time.
He most definitely does. And good news, people are telling us they can hear us.
David
is hearing us all the way in Western Australia.
Oh, wow.
That's great. And Ben says, I can hear you very loud and clear. So Ben's listening too. You know, I was excited. On Sabbath in Hamilton Church, we are going through a series called The Simple Truth. And been enjoying it. And I met someone I'd never met before. And he said, I recognize your voice from this show.
So
there are other people out there listening to us that may not text us, but they're listening. So that was exciting.
Did you tell him about my Looking Up Club?
I didn't.
Give
a plug to everybody.
The Looking Up Club. We've still only got two members. You know how we update Donald Trump's executive orders and that Project 2025 tracker? You know how that keeps going up? The numbers keep increasing. There's noticeable differences from week to week.
Yes.
Well, there hasn't been any noticeable difference in my Looking Up Club gold membership, may I add.
No way.
This is the golden age of Faith FM. There has not been a Faith FM club. This is the first club of its kind on Faith FM.
So there's no other channel, no other
There's no other program that I'm aware of that have a club. a special club for their listeners.
Need to consider what might be the problem.
Could it be the actual co-host himself? There might not be anything wrong with the club idea. It could just be, you know, the fear of meeting this person face to face. It might just be too much.
Yeah.
It might just be too much.
So tell us about your club. How's it going?
Well, I've got the two members still, Eugene and his wife, Ilsa.
Wonderful.
And we're connecting again tomorrow afternoon, God willing, and I'm looking forward to that. I had a great meal with them the other day.
Yes,
at their place. It was wonderful. And just, you know, South Africans, I find, are very, very hospitable people. I was blessed to have
I grew up with them.
I had a number of South African members in my Hamilton Church in New Zealand while I was pastoring, and they are just, they're very hardworking people. They're very kind, very hospitable, you know, very trustworthy. You can trust them when they say they're going to do something, you know it's going to get done. Mm-hmm. Just great people. So, and I've been to South Africa as well. Mm-hmm. Went to Kruger National Park, which was a real blessing. And so, yeah, anyway, so these two golden card members, they're my first two, but I'm looking for more, looking for more.
Well, I'm sure someone will be interested. Maybe we should listen to a song by the TVAC, Tweed Valley Adventist College.
Oh, that's a good school. Yeah. That's a good school.
That is a good school, and they got some really good music too. This is the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. May you be blessed and uplifted to heavenly places.
Blessed Trinity.
Amen. That was the Tweed Valley Adventist College Choir bringing to us that timeless hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And I trust you are blessed. You're looking to the Looking Up program. We're coming to you live today on the 2nd of April, 2025. And at this point, before we get into some incredible headlines, we want to let you know about the free giveaway that we'd like to make available for you today. We only have 14 copies of this book, but it's written by a man who is known to both Danny and myself here, Julian Archer. And it's a book entitled The History of Tomorrow, Some Things Will Never Change. And I just need to read you about this book. It's a really fantastic book. Elite forces of international diplomats crisscross our globe. They frantically negotiate to try and deflect blazing sparks away from fuel-drenched religio-political conflicts. The search is on for a leader who can calm our fears and deliver peace and security to our planet. We sign treaties to solve rapidly escalating economic, environmental, and security problems, but it often seems so futile. What are we missing? The History of Tomorrow, that's this beautiful little book, reveals Earth's last 2,600 years through the eyes of kings, prophets, popes, and presidents, examining the biblical prophecy in Daniel chapter 2. It unveils a pattern in the timeline of history and it exposes an event that will soon permanently alter the face of our planet. If you've never read this, if you're interested in this, if you've never studied Daniel chapter 2, you must text in the code word when we give it to you a little bit later today, because this book explains it all beautifully. The number is 0488-17624. Keep that handy for when we give away the code word.
Amen. And I can vouch what a powerful book this is. I take this book everywhere with me, generally speaking, when I'm on the plane or I'm traveling somewhere, because it's a little pocket book. Mm-hmm. It's just a short,
it's an easy read.
Easy read. It fits in your pocket. So it's just a small little book and it's absolutely powerful. And, you know, just as you were reading, I'm like, all this is transpiring before our very eyes. Did you get that as well?
I was thinking it's just like our program.
It's literally all transpiring before our very eyes. And there's a news headline literally in connection with this prophecy.
Really?
Just absolutely incredible. Wow. So, you know, we'll take a look at that in just a moment. So, folk, we are living in very exciting times because Jesus coming is drawing ever near. And Jesus told us, like those labor pains, Sharissa, that those final movements will be rapid ones. And that's exactly what we have been witnessing, especially the last couple of months or so.
Yeah, last week even. A massive earthquake.
Yeah, well, let's start by talking about that. I mean, that was a great tragedy there in Myanmar. I think it happened on Friday, just this past Friday.
Yes.
Where the latest I heard, over 2,500 people have lost their lives, and there's still many, many missing, not to mention all those that are injured.
Yes.
And I mean, Myanmar is a very, very poor country. Yeah. So it's going to take a long, long time for this country to get back on its feet. This was the second largest city, apparently, there in Myanmar that was struck, and 7.7 on the Richter scale, not very deep. So the impact was just absolutely enormous.
It really was. Some agencies, according to what I'm reading here, are saying that the unofficial toll could be as high as 10,000.
Wow.
Which is just, you know, these are just numbers. The numbers are big, but every digit of that number is a human being like us. And that's just mind-blowing. And so much grief, so much human tragedy. Yeah, and, you know, there wasn't just that quake. By the way, the first I saw of this when I went onto social media Saturday night, because I was at church, and one of my friends had posted this video of buildings just collapsing, like just imploding upon themselves. I was like, where on earth is that? And that's how I discovered that there had been another earthquake. And just shocking, shocking pictures to see. And like you said, how will they rebuild? How can they rebuild from something like this? It's a bit like the place that you showed me the picture on Time Magazine.
Oh, in Gaza.
Was just complete rubble.
Yeah, the down south there, sorry, in Gaza, Rafah. It's just horrible, absolutely horrible. You would think it was out of some kind of movie, a movie scene, but it wasn't a movie scene. It was real life. And people have to live in a place like that. Women give birth in a place like that. It's just absolutely horrible.
Absolutely.
You know, Jesus told us, and by the way, yeah, that earthquake was also felt as far as Thailand.
Really?
About 1,000 kilometers away from the epicenter, and I think one of the buildings collapsed. It was under construction there in Thailand, and someone took a video of this building. It looked like a controlled demolition of a building. It just came down like a pack of cards. It was just horrible to see. So, yeah, really, really sad. We need to keep these folk in prayer. And I know that the aid agencies, including ADRA, the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, are busy on the ground there providing whatever support they can. So this is a time for us to provide some financial assistance through ADRA or any one of those other aid agencies. You can go online and you can donate, and we can do what we can in the meantime.
That's right. Just another shout out. Vernon is listening to us from Canberra.
Oh, so, from the nation's capital.
Yeah, everything's working. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us, Vernon, as well.
Fantastic. I wonder if my sister Lydia's listening. Lydia, are you listening? She hasn't even signed up for my Looking Up Club. Can you believe it? My own sister, my own flesh and blood.
We need to really take a reflection on this.
We do.
0488-17624 is the number if you have any thoughts.
All right. It's interesting, Jesus here in Matthew 24, verse 7, you know, he says, and there will be famines, pestilences or disease, and earthquakes in various places. And
there's no warning with an earthquake.
No, there isn't. So I'm going to share a couple of spiritual lessons that come from that. But it says all these are the beginning of sorrows. So this is not the conclusion of the matter. It's the beginning of sorrows. Birth pains is that word.
You know, there was another earthquake that happened off the coast of Tonga as well. Mm. Did you see that?
It
was a massive earthquake.
Yes, actually, I did hear about it briefly.
It was a 7.1 magnitude earthquake. And they issued a warning for a tsunami, but there was none. So when I saw that, I was like, that is huge as well.
Yeah.
But it didn't affect
anything.
Anyone.
7 and beyond is quite big, because people might think, between 6 and 7, it's not really a big deal. But yeah, between a 6 or a 7 or a 7 and an 8 or an 8 and a 9, God forbid, I mean, the enormity is like exponential. That's how earthquakes are measured.
We might just have to pause again, because you have someone else who wants to join your club.
No way. Ben, breaking news.
Ben says, I sign up.
Oh, praise the Lord. Has he given his details
there? We have his number.
Oh, praise the Lord, Ben. I'll be contacting you. And I'm happy for remote members as well. You don't need to live in the area. You can be a remote gold card Faith FM Looking Up member.
Ben's been very brave, and he has said, I'm going to do this. So God bless you, Ben.
You may experience.
You've made Danny's day.
I know. Absolutely. Absolutely. In Luke 21, Jesus talked about great earthquakes. You know, not just earthquakes, but there would be great earthquakes. And that's in Luke 21:11. Now, as far as spiritual lessons are concerned, I share this when I share my seminars, and I'm looking forward to doing a number of seminars, and I'm planning on going up to Townsville again this year.
Oh, exciting.
So I'm looking forward to doing my Living Abundantly series, which is a little bit different to what we talk about every week here.
Yes.
So, but just as important. So when it comes to earthquakes, there are three key items that I believe Jesus used earthquakes. He didn't talk about, you know, many of the other natural disasters, fires, floods, hurricanes, or we call them here cyclones. Mm-hmm. But he really zeroed in on earthquakes. Okay, so there's wars, rumors of wars, there's famines, pestilences, and then earthquakes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's kind of the one major natural disaster that Jesus really zeroed in on. And I thought of earthquakes, and I thought there's three, probably in my mind, there's probably more, but three really important spiritual lessons. Number one, an earthquake, of all the natural disasters that hit, an earthquake causes the most death and devastation. Okay, the most death and devastation come from an earthquake.
That would be true natural disasters.
As far as natural disasters are concerned. Why is that? That's because there's no warning. With all the other natural disasters, there is a warning. There's a warning. There's a fire. There's fire danger. There's a warning. There's a potential hurricane.
And it affects land where people live.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there's no warning. And number three, there's a spiritual impact. Mm. Spiritual impact. Often when an earthquake has struck in the biblical record, there has been a major God moment where God is at work in a community, in a person's life. For example, when God is giving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai,
yes,
the Bible says the mountain was quaking. True. It was quaking. When Jesus died on the cross, mm-hmm. there was an earthquake, the Bible tells us, and the centurion cried out, "Behold, he is the Son of God." At the resurrection of Jesus, there's another earthquake.
Yes.
When Paul and Silas are in prison, at midnight, the Bible says, you remember mm-hmm. the bridegroom comes at midnight. True. In Matthew 25, at midnight, there's an earthquake.
Yes.
And the jailer and his family give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. They're baptized and they choose to be part of the ultimate club, mm-hmm. the Jesus club, the salvation club. Mm-hmm. When Jesus returns, according to Revelation chapter 16, there's going to be an earthquake such as an earthquake has never taken place that will usher in the second coming of Jesus. This will be under the seventh plague. Mm. Earthquakes are in connection with God moments, are in connection with conversion moments. And finally, earthquakes not only shake the physical elements, but I believe God allows earthquakes to shake us spiritually because we need to be shaken spiritually, because it's easy for us to get into a very, you know, happy-go-lucky feeling and time in our lives where we're just going through the motions. It's all business as usual, where, you know, prophetic events are taking place before our very eyes. But because we have become desensitized, because we just see so much all the time, mm-hmm. we are kind of not too concerned and not too worried about the signs of the times. That's and the times we're living in.
That is an absolutely great point. I have a question for you after this, but about, you know, because these have always been happening, earthquakes.
Yeah.
You know, how is it that we know that they suddenly now signal to us the coming of Jesus?
Well, Jesus talked about the labor pains, as I shared earlier, and they will intensify in frequency and intensity, even though, according to the American Geological website that monitors earthquakes, the numbers of these large earthquakes haven't really been going up too much according to their records over the last, you know, 50, 60, maybe 100 years or so. Mm. But even so, they are in connection with these earthquakes, I believe, are in connection with waking and shaking people.
Mm.
You know, because when an earthquake hits, it really does shake not just those who are there, but it shakes everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes us think of the, you know, of life and how life is just so fragile.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm hoping and praying that as we take a look at these earthquakes and other things that are taking place, that they will draw us closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well.
So that's that. And we've got an election. Mm-hmm. We've got an election that's been scheduled for Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that time, you know, 3 years have elapsed. Can you believe it? 3 years have elapsed since the last federal election, and that's being scheduled for May 3,
right,
which is in a month. And it's interesting that you have not only politicians that are, you know, preparing themselves for this, you know, election showdown, but you've got the Christian community, you've got ACL, the Australian Christian Lobby, you know, Freedom for Faith,
mm-hmm.
Binary, and some of these other organizations that are looking to really weigh in on the election in order to seek to get their particular agenda. And for Christians, obviously, it's more Christian religious freedom mm-hmm. that we are seeking, and for government not to impose religion on the Australian public, but for us to enjoy more religious freedoms, to be able to speak according to the dictates of our conscience, speak respectfully, but speak nonetheless without legislation prohibiting, you know, the freedom of not just Christians, but people of all faith to yes. practice their faith and to be able to share their faith as we have been doing for the last couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting, and they're hoping and praying, especially, you know, groups like ACL, Australian Christian Lobby, and others are hoping and praying that what's been happening in the United States of America, this pendulum that is swinging in the United States of America, that pendulum will come to Australian shores and will swing, you know, our political and religious situation here.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to have to take a song here. Malvinas is going to bring to us a beautiful song, and she's got a beautiful voice, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and then we will continue right after this.
everlasting arms is. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, hopes that I'm leaning on Jesus.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sil. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 880856.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Sorrow looks back, worry looks around.
Show, and we're so glad that you are tuning in. We have heard from many of you already, and there's another listener who's texted us. Danny, you'll be pleased to know Lydia is listening.
Oh,
she says, "Hey guys, yes, I'm listening in. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm too far to join Danny's club." But there you go. That's great to have her. She's keeping an eye on you.
I was up there over the weekend. I was up there, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Her dear husband, Andy, Handy Andy. Yes. Remember we wished him happy birthday, 50, the big 5-0?
Yeah.
He's joined our club, Charissa. Isn't that exciting? No.
Your club.
My club. Fake news. So anyway, yeah, that was good to catch up with her. And I helped my dad with the bees. I've never done that. Like, my dad's got this bee hobby.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was pretty hectic. My dad gave me this bee. Have you ever dealt with bees?
No, but I've seen people deal with them.
Yeah, like you know how you put that hat on, that special hat?
Yeah.
Well, I put the hat on and I thought it was secure and around my neck and I was there with the bees. Everything was going well, you know, had gloves on, you know, fully covered and so forth. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this bee managed to find its way inside my hat.
Oh, no.
And I just freaked out. I started screaming, yelling, running.
Was there a swarm of bees following you?
Oh, there was. There was a swarm of bees following me, and I'm heading towards my other sister, Rachel, and she's running from me. Like, she didn't want to have anything to do with me. She was, like, just running in the opposite direction, and it was pretty hectic.
You got a sermon illustration there.
So, yeah, I still haven't talked to my sisters to find out how the bee situation went because I was only there for half the job. Mm-hmm. So we managed to get all the honey out, help my dad get all the honey out. But then when it came to doing the rest of the job, I had to jump on a plane. So I kind of left them with the honey.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how it's ended up.
I hear there
may have been some issues. So anyway, I was on the plane and my sisters are like, Danny, next time you have a bright idea about helping dad with the honey, make sure you do it on a day when you are there for the full day, not for a half a day. So you do half a job.
There you go.
I have this knack of getting out of like jobs, like half a job or whatever. I don't know how I do. Like I sometimes just get to the job and it's all been finished.
It's a gift. Yeah.
I don't know whether I was born with it.
There might be another word.
Anyway.
My
sister's going to fill us in. So fill us in, Lydia, fill us in on where the honey situation's at, because I'm sure our listeners want to know what happened, how many kilos were taken out and so on and so forth.
There you go. We look forward to hearing that update and a reminder for everybody about the giveaway with today's show. It's called The History of Tomorrow. And it's written by Julian Archer, an amazing book that explores Daniel chapter 2. And there's 14 copies available. So again, keep the number 0488817624 handy. We're going to give you the code word in just a little bit so that you can be in the running for this amazing giveaway. It really is a wonderful resource, a really good book. And Lydia is listening. She's sending messages in live. I'll just quickly share them with you. Mm-hmm. Typical Danny and his great ideas. Sounds like a sister. And then we finished late last night extracting the honey.
How many kilos?
All right. I'm sure she'll come back with that.
She'll come back with an answer on that. So anyway, late last night. So I knew. Anyway, probably the less said the better. So there you go. So I'm not sure if there's any other listeners out there that have siblings that leave them with only half a job done. If you do, let us know, maybe an experience or two. We can share it to encourage others that I'm not the only one. Hopefully I'm not the only one out there.
Amen.
Anyway, all right. So, Charissa, we're going to get to our Bible study in just a little bit, but it's a great Bible study, and we've got 5 sessions altogether, 5 15-minute sessions. So we're going to dedicate the last 3 to the Bible study, but we're just going to spend these next few minutes here in this session dealing with what's taking place now.
Yes.
A lot of our listeners may be wondering, why do we keep harping on what's going on in the United States of America?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it is front and center in Bible prophecy. That is the main reason why we continually focus on what's taking place there, because there is so much in the United States that is taking place that is relevant to Bible prophecy and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So we look at other things, but this is the epicenter, and the final events of Bible prophecy will unfold in the United States of America. That's the epicenter. We talked about earthquakes. Mm-hmm. They have an epicenter. Well, the end time prophetic epicenter is the USA. And so let's take a look at what's happening there and how this is impacting the entire world. So let's start off with the first story, the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Donald Trump, he has shared that Liberation Day is April 2. So it's April 2 here. But it hasn't quite kicked over to April 2, or it's about to kick over to April 2 in the United States of America. So the world...
Liberation sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good for America, yes. Not necessarily for the rest of the world. So we're going to see how all this lines up, Charissa. The world is on edge. World economic markets are as nervous as they have ever been. And so we're going to see how all this ends up. And next week, we will have a better understanding of where things are and where things are heading. So let's not forget that America and its global economy sets the pace for the world. You know, the old saying, when America catches a cold, when its economic and financial markets catch a cold, or when they sneeze, you know, the rest of the world, you know,
catches a cold
or catches the flu. So we'll see how we go. It's interesting that the European Commission president, Ursula von der Leyen, something like that. I've completely butchered her name. Anyway, she said Europe is ready and willing to retaliate if necessary to looming trade tariffs to be announced by US President Donald Trump. Okay. She's saying we are the single biggest economic power in the world. The 27 nations that make up the European Union, they actually do have a larger GDP than the United States of America. And she's like, we are ready to go to war with Donald Trump if he so desires. And it was interesting what she said. I was watching her announcement that she made literally just like in the last 24 hours. And this is what she said. She said basically that the United States is upending the current economic world order.
Yes.
Totally. Upending the current economic world order that was established, you know, back in 1945 under the Bretton Woods Agreement. We don't have time to get into that. Mm-hmm. But especially it was, once again reestablished in the 1970s when this current world economic order that we have, this free global trade agreement that nations have, that's being upended. Mm-hmm. And she basically said it's time for the European Union to focus on the European common market. This is Daniel 2. She's saying we need to bring Europe together as one strong entity if we're going to. She's saying we can't. Europe, the European Union, these 27 nations, you know, they can't go fighting this battle on their own. America's too big, too strong. We need to pull together. We need to unite together. This is Daniel 2. This is that little book.
Wow.
It's interesting because and she says we've been talking about the European Common Economic Market for years and years. And she says we haven't really done anything about it, but she's saying now the time has come.
Time for Europe to band together.
Yes, for Europe to band together. So that's really interesting. We've got China, Japan, and I think South Korea have just put together a deal like that they've never had before in connection with this. So different countries are pooling together in order to find a way to fight back. Canada.
America's really muscling up.
Absolutely. MSNBC, this is what they said. This was their headline. Trump seeking to undo 45 years of open global trade and bully the world to accept his new economic world order. This is straight out of Revelation 13, isn't it?
It totally is.
Revelation 13:11 tells us that the United States will dictate to the whole world what will happen in connection with this religio-political worship mandate that will be rolled out. Mm-hmm. It's going to dictate to the whole world, and guess what? The whole world will follow.
Yeah, and now we're actually starting to see how that could be possible.
Exactly.
Because the whole world is having to adjust themselves.
Absolutely.
Because of what the US is doing. It's truly exerting itself in the world as a financial power right now.
It is. This is Canada. I mean, Canada and the US, they're brothers. That's like Australia and New Zealand, right?
Yep.
And this is what the Canadian Prime Minister said just the other day. He said, and this is the headline I'm reading from CNN. Old US-Canada relationship is over, warns Canadian Prime Minister. Can you believe it? Did you ever think you would hear such words from the Prime Minister of Canada? I mean, these guys, for us, they share the same language as in the same accent. We can't pick a Canadian from an American accent. I guess just like they can't pick a New Zealand from an Australian accent. Yeah. You know, we're very similar. These guys share everything in common. You know, they share the same border. They share a border. People come in and out just like with New Zealand and Australia. So it's incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, the things that we are seeing right now are unprecedented, absolutely unprecedented. So we will see where all these things land.
Absolutely.
All right. So then there's the whole, well, Trump and Iran, I'm going to leave that. That's going to tap into our Israel in prophecy. Ukraine and Russia. All right, this is an interesting situation. Once again, we've got the United States in one corner, Europe in another corner. The European Union, the Europeans are supporting Ukraine. Donald Trump is trying to find an agreement between the two. But the Europeans are saying, no, don't give in. Don't give in to the Americans. Don't give in to the Russians. We're going to be here to support you. You are part of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this real tension, whereas, you know, and Donald Trump is saying, no, you're not going to be part of NATO to Ukraine, because he wants to appease Vladimir Putin. And now he's upset with Putin because he feels Putin's dragging. So now Donald Trump wants to put sanctions on Vladimir Putin. And he wants to put secondary sanctions. Can you believe this, what I'm about to share with you?
I haven't followed the news on this.
Secondary sanctions. Check this out. This is like straight out of Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm.
What Donald Trump is threatening to do, he hasn't done it, but he's threatening to do, because obviously Russia is one of the major, if not the biggest, oil exporter in the world. So mm-hmm. Russia exports oil to various, you know, nations around the world. And so Donald Trump is threatening Russia that he will impose tariffs on the nations that buy the fuel from Russia. Because he wants to, like, cripple Russia and not have those nations buy the fuel from Russia. So yeah. He's telling Russia, I'm going to impose these tariffs on these nations.
Who wants to buy from
exactly.
Them.
For example, say if China...
To deter them.
Exactly. China wants to buy, you know, fuel from Russia. And Donald Trump says, no, you can't do that because I'm imposing these, you know, these measures on Russia to get them to the table. And China decides to do it. Trump will say to China, okay, I'm going to put massive tariffs on you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's crazy, absolutely crazy. Anyway, let's move on from there. It's interesting that, where are we? We need to have a look at this Project 2025 tracker.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I had so it a minute ago.
I've got it here. according to this latest stat here, 109 of the 301 items in that Project 2025 900-page booklet are now done.
Mm-hmm.
44 are in progress. Can you see how many percentage?
Yes, 44%.
44%. This is all supposed
to... It's gone up 2% since last week.
This is all supposed to happen in the first 180 days. So we'll see what happens. Now, CNN, Donald Trump's executive orders action. Do you know where he's up to now? 156.
Wow.
It was 143 last week. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I should take screenshots of this.
That was a record last week.
That was, yeah. Now, 156. All right, now, for perspective, I went online and asked how many executive orders did Joe Biden issue in his entire 4 years?
How many?
163.
So
he's almost there.
That's amazing.
He's almost hit the 100. He's seven more, and he'll hit 163. And this is all in 2.5 months.
Hmm.
So these movements are happening at a rapid pace. I'll leave this one for later. Where are we here? Oh, this one's a funny one. You think I preach long, Sharissa?
No, I don't really think. All
right. Senator, this one's a funny one. Senator Cory Booker, he's a Democrat, speaks for record time on Senate floor criticizing Trump and Musk. Do you know how long he spoke for?
How long?
Over 25 hours. Straight.
You're joking.
Not joking. He broke the record.
25 hours?
Straight. New Jersey Democrat Senator Cory Booker has broken the record for the longest speech on the U.S. Senate floor. More than 25 hours later. He started his speech 7 p.m. on the 31st, Monday the 31st, and he finished.
That sounds like a Guinness World Record right there.
It is. It's huge.
That's amazing. Well, friends, please stay with us. Sandra Enterman, beautiful voice, is going to bring to us Faithful Men.
Come and join the reapers, all the kingdom seed. Share the harvest.
He most certainly is. That was Sandra Enterman bringing to us that wonderful song, Faithful Men, and you're listening to The Looking Up Show. I think it's time we give away our code word for today.
Amen. Good idea. Good idea.
So with that said, I don't know how to do a drum roll, but... that was really good. That was a drum roll in case you didn't know that.
Let's see if I can do that for 25 hours straight.
No. That was related to the previous story. But after that drum roll, the code word for today's giveaway is...
LU25 History.
All right. That's because the giveaway is The History of Tomorrow, Some Things Will Never Change, a little booklet by Julian Archer. This is a foundational resource for anyone who's seeking to understand the tectonic movements that are shaping geopolitics, religion, and economics today. If you're interested in obtaining Julian's book, he's an Australian author and researcher and has traveled the globe teaching about the impacts of economic prosperity on spirituality and national security, this is the book for you. Text LU25 History to 0488817624. All right, there's only 14, so you have to be one of the first 14 people to text.
There you go. And so did you fact check that 25-hour speech? Is it true?
It is true.
Can you believe
it? It's amazing.
He spoke for 25 hours straight. Started at 7 p.m., I think Monday night, went all the way through the night, through the early, I'm not sure, who would be listening to him, you know, at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning? You've got to be pretty diehard. You know, to be listening to this senator say, hey, look, this is not kind of like a one-off, Sharissa. Did you realize that? Here's the record before him was by another senator, and that was in 1957, Strom Thurmond or whatever, 24 hours, 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. Before him, there was another person, 23 hours. Mm-hmm. Then before him, 22. I mean, this is crazy. Mm. I mean, don't they have laws? How long you can speak for?
Yeah,
this is ludicrous.
That does sound absolutely crazy, and I'd just like to know,
like 25 hours.
What do you talk about?
Well, obviously, he had a book that he had put together. I could see you can go online and you can check out some of his speech. I'm not sure if you can check out the whole speech. It might be there.
I wouldn't mind listening to see how you can talk for that long. So, did he have a lunch break?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm assuming he at least had water to drink or something, but yeah. He stood there at the podium for 25 hours.
And this was like yesterday?
Yeah, literally.
Amazing.
Literally. So anyway, this is just absolutely mad. So we're living in a mad world. This is America. Like, what other nation on the planet do politicians get up and speak for a full day? Mm. 24 plus hours. I mean, you know. It's just crazy.
Wow. He said he would remain there as long as he was physically able.
Yeah. anyway, so there you go, folk. There you go. We are living in strange and unusual times. All right. Time for our Bible study.
Yay.
So for the rest of this show, we're going to leave everything else behind. There's a whole heap more going on, but we're going to let it be. We're going to be dealing with some of the items dealing with America, Israel. Mm-hmm. And Bible prophecy. So this is part three, Sharissa. Mm-hmm. And we'll try and pop that on our podcast as a title. So in case people want to find it again, they can.
Yes.
Now, just to remind you where we have been, we've been taking a look at this relationship that is current right now. And it has been, you know, for some time, especially since 1948, when Israel received its sovereignty, its independence from the United Nations as a sovereign country, as a sovereign state in 1948, that took place. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this the last time we were together. But ever since then, the United States and Israel have been very, very close allies. And the United States considers Israel as its number one friend in the Middle East. Hmm. And depending on what administration has been in, either the relationship is closer or less so. Under Donald Trump, it is extremely close. It's the closest it has ever been. In his first term, as we pointed out last time, you know, Donald Trump and his administration moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, mm-hmm. basically recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, that's very contentious,
yes,
because there you've got the Muslims as well, you know, the Arabs who maintain that is their capital.
Mm.
In Palestine, you know, as they refer to it. So there's a lot of tension there. Now, what's interesting is that we have evangelicals, Christians, evangelicals in particular, that have a real focus on Israel, and they see Israel's role at the end of time fulfilling Bible prophecy. They believe that Jesus made prophecies in connection with Israel's restoration.
Yeah.
1948 being predicted, and so on and so forth. So they very much have a view on that. Now, when it comes to what's been taking place of late, if we take a look at some of the headlines, we discover that Donald Trump has threatened to bomb Iran if Iran doesn't come to the table and sign a deal that he will propose within the next 2 months in connection with their nuclear aspirations. So he said, you know, I will potentially go in and bomb you. Now, what do you think that's going to do? That's going to create a real mess in the Middle East.
Yes.
Okay. Now, why is Donald Trump so tough on Iran? Why is he so tough on, you know, Hamas, the Houthis and Hezbollah, which are these, you know, Iran proxies? That's because Israel considers Iran its number one enemy in the Middle East.
Mm.
And guess who America is supporting? Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how this whole system works over there. And so we're watching and seeing how this all takes place. And, it's going to be really, really interesting. I also found out that Benjamin Netanyahu. Yeah, thank you. He is the first foreign leader to have visited Donald Trump after his inauguration. The first one. He was personally invited. There was a red carpet at the airport when he landed. And so Donald Trump wanted to make a statement to the world.
Where they stand.
Where him and his administration stand. So, you know, there's a lot in that we need to unpack. And so why is it that you have evangelicals that are so supportive? Well, what I'm going to do is I am simply going to share with you some of the high points of why evangelicals, and this is not all evangelicals, but this is kind of like a broad spectrum of evangelicals, what they believe in when it comes to Israel and end-time Bible prophecy. All right. So they basically believe that Israel has a special role in God's plan. This is based on the belief that God made unconditional promises to the nation of Israel, particularly in the Old Testament, that God will fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in connection also with the third temple.
Mm-hmm.
So they see, you know, the last part of Ezekiel, from about Ezekiel chapter 40 to Ezekiel 48, as God's promises to restore Israel a third time. Like God restored them a second time when they came out of exile from Babylon and Assyrian, you know, captivity.
Mm-hmm.
But this is after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So it's the restoration of Israel. They believe that the role of Israel in the Great Tribulation, this period of intense suffering and persecution lasting 7 years, and we're going to look at that on another occasion because we don't have time. They tap into this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, that this has significant focus on Israel. They also believe that the Antichrist and the Battle of Armageddon will take place there in Israel, this Antichrist figure.
Everything's in Israel.
That will come into the temple, and that Armageddon, this literal physical battle where the enemies of Israel combine to come against Israel in that very place there where Israel is, you know, the Valley of Megiddo, you know. And so they believe it will be a literal battle. And the Bible talks about, Revelation talks about the Battle of Armageddon. And we're going to look at that and see what the Bible has to say. They believe that the second coming of Christ will be ushered in at this particular point in time where Jesus will not only defeat the forces of evil, but he will set up his millennial kingdom here on this earth that will reign over all the earth for 1,000 years, whereby the nation of Israel is believed to play a central role in this kingdom, for they will be fulfilling the prophecies that God made, these unconditional prophecies that God made to Israel.
Right.
Then there's also the idea that all of Israel will be converted to Christ, that they'll accept him as the promised Messiah, and they believe that Romans chapter 11 talks about that, and we're going to look at that scripture as well. Mm-hmm. And they also believe that this new covenant that God makes is the new covenant with Israel restored, which is in Jeremiah 31,
yeah,
you know, where God says, I'm going to make a new covenant. So there's a number of scriptures that they tap into. We've looked at some, Genesis chapter 12 in the past, Ezekiel 36 and 37, which we're going to look at, Romans 11, which we're going to look at, Matthew 24, which we'll also have a brief look at, and then Revelation 19 and 20, the millennium and, you know, Gog and Magog in particular. So we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say in connection with this. So there's a lot of information there. I've kind of just given an overview, mm-hmm, of why evangelical Christians believe that Israel is to be at the very center of end time prophecy, whereas we're saying that the United States is the epicenter of end time prophecy. So how are we going to know what's true and what's not? Yeah. We need to find out what the Bible says.
Test it by the word.
Exactly. All right. So in the first program, we journeyed through, we began with Abraham, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
God called him and he says, from you I'll make a great nation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at the covenant that God made with Abraham, you know, and then through Israel. But then we discovered that Israel sadly broke that covenant over and over again, mm-hmm, and that God sent his ultimate covenant maker and keeper. And who was that?
Jesus.
Jesus. And did Jesus keep the covenant?
He did.
Yes, he did. He kept the covenant. And we discovered that then the New Testament moves from literal physical Israel to
spiritual
Israel. And now who is the Israel of God in the New Testament?
Anyone who's experienced the grace and mercy of Christ and accepted him as Lord.
Exactly. So that's in a nutshell. That's what we've looked at thus far. That's in a nutshell. So now that we've got that all down pat, and that's what the Bible teaches. Now, in case you missed that, those two studies, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the previous two programs, and you'll pick up all that we just summarized in like 60 seconds. All right. So now let's take a look at what the Bible has to say, Sharissa. You're going to pray, my friend, and
yes,
then we're going to begin our Bible study.
Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word, and we just ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us as we study these very important and relevant themes for the times in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. To start our Bible study, that's Acts 1, 8. And if people have got a Bible and they're at home, I'd encourage you, if you're listening and you're not doing the cooking or anything else, that you open up your own Bible and you track with us. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Could you read that, please?
Yes, the Bible says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth."
Okay, so does this scripture tell us that God loves all people, both those who are of Jewish descent as well as those who may not be?
It tells us he loves everyone.
He loves absolutely everyone. And this, we remember Matthew 24:14, where Jesus said, gospel will go to
all the world and then the end shall come.
Exactly. So, and in Matthew 28, we've got the baptismal commission, the mm-hmm, preaching commission.
To all nations.
To all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. But then people ask, well, what about Israel? Does God have a special place in his heart for literal, physical Israel? And you know what? He actually does have a soft spot for literal, physical Israel. Not that they are special from a prophetic point of view, but he does have a soft spot for them. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. And notice what the Apostle Paul here says. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, please, if you could read Romans chapter 10, verse 1.
"Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved."
Wow, this is the Apostle Paul. So what's he pleading with
for them to receive Christ and
Absolutely.
His salvation.
That they may be saved. Okay, and we're going to look at another scripture in a little bit, but we've got a song coming up, I believe.
Yes, we do. This is Marlita Fong, my sister, bringing to us I Have a Friend, a beautiful, beautiful song reminding us about the friendship we can have with Jesus.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Marlita Fong bringing to us I Have a Friend, and you are listening to the Looking Up Show. We're coming to you live on April the 2nd, 2025. And a reminder for the code word, LU25 history is the code word in case you're still with us. Please text that through to 0488817624 and you'll be one of the people in the running to receive this beautiful book by Julian Archer, The History of Tomorrow. We only have 14 copies today, so be quick. LU25 history, 0488817624. And now we're back to our Bible study, which is, I'm ready to keep going.
Oh, you ready to keep going? All right. You remember that was one of the key scriptures that evangelical Christians refer to in connection with the future salvation of all of Israel. Mm. Okay. So Romans chapter 11. So let's take a look at, sorry, that was Romans 10. We looked at Romans 10, 1. But now go to Romans 11 and verse 1.
I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
Okay, so here The Apostle Paul, in fact, you know, from chapter 9 all the way through to chapter 11, those three chapters, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to those who are Gentiles in particular, and he's saying, hey, don't think you are something more special than the children of Israel, who were the original ones that God called to be his ambassadors, that he made the covenant with, you know, through Abraham. Mm-hmm. That's very clear. Don't think that, you know, because of, you know, the leadership's rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, you know, putting him on the cross, that you now have some special place in God's heart and that God has forsaken Israel, you know, the physical nation of Israel. He says, no, that's not the case. God loves Israel. He loves all people, including Israel. And here in Romans chapter 11, he says just that. Now, there are brothers and sisters in Christian circles, and I'm being, you know, I'm trying to be as respectful as I can as we go through this Bible study. And they look at Romans 11, verse 26 and 27, mm-hmm. which is a prophecy. So okay. I'm not sure if your Bible there indents these words, but this is a prophecy that comes to us from Isaiah. And so notice this prophecy that Paul is quoting from.
Yes, the Bible here, it says here in Romans 11, 26 yep. and 27, correct. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, now it's quoting prophecy, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
Okay, it appears that Paul is saying that this prophecy given in Isaiah, and the reference there is, you know, Isaiah 59, verse 20, 21, and Isaiah, you know, 27, verse 9, that this covenant that God made with Israel is unconditional and it will be fulfilled, and all Israel will be saved. Isn't
mm-hmm.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we just
it
read.
Looks like that, yep.
That's what it appears to be. However, if you look at this scripture in isolation, you may come to that conclusion. But when we take a look at Bible prophecy, and in particular, the covenants that God makes with his people, we discover that they are conditional.
Right.
So there are conditional prophecies, mm-hmm. and then there are unconditional prophecies.
How do you tell the difference?
Okay. An unconditional prophecy is that Jesus will come mm-hmm. a second time. That's an unconditional prophecy.
Right.
There is, you know,
nothing's going to change.
Nothing's going to change. And that the gospel will go to all the world right. as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's unconditional. Mm-hmm. So that's not based on whether people believe that or respond to that or accept that. That will happen.
Mm-hmm.
The prophecy in Daniel chapter 2, that's an unconditional prophecy. God said, after Babylon, there'll be Medo-Persia, you know, there'll be another kingdom that'll be Greece,
yep.
there'll be Rome, then that empire will be divided, and then the coming of Jesus will return. Mm-hmm. So that's an unconditional prophecy. Another unconditional prophecy is Revelation 13, you know, in connection with the United States of America, that this lamb-like beast, you know, this power that begins Christ-like will one day speak like a dragon.
Bring on the mark of the beast.
Exactly. Crisis. That's unconditional. So right. that's an unconditional prophecy. But when it comes to
condition.
God making a covenant with his people, it's always been conditional.
Uh-huh.
Always.
So it's always dependent. When something's dependent on God, it's unconditional.
Exactly.
If something's dependent on us, it's up
cooperating to with God.
Cooperating with us.
It's conditional. Him. Exactly. So if you can remember that, that's really a good way to discern between conditional and unconditional.
Got
so
it.
When God's in the driver's seat and he does not need to mm-hmm. rely on humans, it's unconditional. But when God is seeking to work together with humans, you know, especially in a covenant relationship, it's always conditional. And we've got, you know, we've got in the Old Testament the blessings and the curses. God says to Israel, if you will do this, then.
Mm-hmm.
If you will do this, you'll be blessed. If you will do this, sadly, you'll experience the curses. Now, there's a number of parables that Jesus actually shared in connection with the children of Israel, with the people of Israel, that are conditional prophecies. So let's just take a look at a couple of these. So these are the words of Jesus. And we're definitely not going to get through this whole study today. That's okay. Matthew 21, because this is really important. Mm-hmm. Matthew 21, verse 28 to 32. This is the parable of the two sons.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 21, verse 28 to 32. Read it, and then we can just make a couple of quick comments before we move on to the next parable.
Jesus said, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you at the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him."
Ouch. Who's Jesus here talking to primarily?
He's talking to Israel.
The religious leaders of Israel. Mm. And what he's saying to them through this parable, he's saying, "You said, yes, all that the Lord has said we will do. You said we will be the covenant keepers of God. We will be his ambassadors, but you chose not to."
Mm.
You walked away.
Yeah.
But there are the tax collectors and the harlots and the others. They originally walked away. They were not in covenant relationship with me. But then they made a decision to come into a covenant relationship with me. And so they have said yes. So this is the conditionality of Bible prophecy. Can you see that very clearly?
Yes.
And so that's what Jesus says, you know, the tax collectors and the harlots. I mean, like the two worst groups of people in a Jewish mind were the tax collectors and the harlots.
Yeah.
You know, the most immoral and the most, you know, unethical individuals, you know, siding with Rome, the tax collectors, you know, to oppress the people of Israel and the harlots. Well, that goes without saying why they would see them as, you know, the worst of the worst from a moral point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first parable that tells us that, this covenant is very much conditional. All right. There's another one. We won't take the time to read the next two because they're quite lengthy, but you've got the parable of the wicked vine dressers.
Yeah, that's that looks in Matthew, like the very next one.
Matthew 21, 33 to 46.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a long parable there with the same point there where Jesus says they began working, but then they turned their backs. You know, they reneged on the agreement that they had made.
Mm.
Then the other one, there's another parable, and it's the parable of the wedding feast. In Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Are you familiar with the parable of the wedding feast? In
yes.
Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14.
Yeah.
So can you see
these
Jesus?
These are all back to back.
These are all back to back. They are all back to back. And so we won't take the time to read that, but people can do that. Verses chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. But once again, it's this conditional prophecy that's given here. But we will take a look at the parable of the barren fig tree, Luke 13.
Mm-hmm.
So go to Luke 13, this is the fourth parable, yes?
Freco is listening and he said, "Look up, he is coming, he is at the door, Jesus told me. Thank you for the show, great Bible study, love Freco. God bless you all at Faith FM."
Fantastic, thank you so much, Freco. Thanks for the word of encouragement. Keep up the good work, keep looking up.
Amen.
Luke 13, verses 6 to 9, so this is the parable of the barren fig tree.
He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down."
All right. So what does the fig tree represent in this parable?
Israel.
Israel, yes, Israel. And the fig tree are synonymous. That's a symbol for Israel.
Mm.
What does the vine dresser, you could say, well, it's not a vine dresser, it's a fig tree, but the man, you know, the man who has planted this
who
fig
says,
tree.
Who says, "Leave it and let's see if it bears fruit." Would that be God?
That's Jesus. Mm. You know, that's Jesus saying, "One more year." Mm-hmm. One more year. And Jesus did minister. He ministered one more year.
Yeah.
And he did all he possibly could. And at the end of that,
he digs, he fertilizes.
Absolutely. And at the end of that, you know, the religious leaders rejected him and put him on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
They merged together with the Romans in order to put Jesus on the cross. You know, that's very, very clear. But it's very clear Jesus here says, you know, if this fig tree produces fruit, good. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. That's the conditionality of Bible prophecy. All right. So we've got that very, very clear. Let's just take a look at one more. This is not a parable, but this is a statement from Jesus in Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39. And by the way, as we're going there, Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39, this is Jesus. He leaves the temple for the very last time. We have in the book of Acts that many of the religious leaders, including the priests, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior after Pentecost. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Many of them were there on the day of Pentecost, and they realized when Peter says...
The dots joined.
Yeah, they joined the dots that this Jesus, whom you crucified, was the sent Son of God. And the Bible says they were cut to the heart.
Wow.
And they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" And you remember what Peter's response was?
Repent and be baptized, every one of you.
Exactly. And so there were many religious leaders, including from the priesthood, that had cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." That 40 days later at Pentecost, I should say 50 days later at Pentecost, they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" when they were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that in the end, there will be many Jewish Israelis. There will be many Jews, not just in Israel, but around the world, because the Jews are scattered around the world. There are Jews everywhere. There are Jews here in Australia. You know, my mum used to work for some Jews. And I believe that in the end, when God showcases his truth once again through the preaching of the everlasting gospel, those three angels' messages, when they are sounded throughout the entire world, when the whole world is lit up with the glory of God, according to Revelation 18, verse 1, you know, when that angel lights up the world with the glory of God, which is his character, there'll be Jews, physical Jews, around the world that will accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Messiah, and they will make a stand with God's people. Because guess what? At the end of time, when the mark of the beast and the seal of God is rolled out, and you will choose either the seal of God or the mark of the beast, and the day of worship will be central, guess what? The Jews will realize, wow, we had no idea that one of our central pillars of our faith, our Sabbath, that is so near and dear to us, such a blessing, Satan wants to destroy. True. And they're going to make a stand with the people of God around the world, Christians and Muslims and everyone. They will make a stand with the people of God on the Sabbath. Mm. It's going to be powerful.
What an exciting time.
Oh, I can't wait.
Forward to.
I can't wait. Standing side by. It is coming soon. All right. Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39.
Bible says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
Well, there you go. It's another conditional prophecy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus is praying that the people will repent, that they'll turn away, so that the temple and Jerusalem does not need to be destroyed. But sadly, it will be. So we're going to continue to take a look at some more in connection with this prophecy. But in the meantime, I'm going to hand over to you, Charissa.
Well, I'm going to hand over to the Pillars of Faith Choir, because they're going to bring to us another hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy." And it's a medley. "Take time to be holy and be thou my vision." Pray you're blessed by this beautiful music.
Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around.
Excited. I nearly missed that. You're listening to the Looking Up program. Reminder, the code word LU25 history to 0488-17624. And we've just been going through this amazing Bible study, but we're not finished.
No, we're not. We've got another final segment to go. And let's see how we go and how much we can get through. So we've established that the fig tree is a symbol of Israel.
That's right.
So there's a lot of Christians that believe that Jesus in Matthew 24 spoke of the nation of Israel because he uses this fig tree symbol in Matthew 24. So would you like to read Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 to 33?
Sure. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors.
Okay, speaking of what being near and at the doors?
Well, the coming of Jesus.
Yeah, the coming of Jesus. So they're like the fig tree. When the fig tree comes back, that means Jesus is about to return. Mm. And so if Israel is seen as the fig tree, because yes, the fig tree is very much a symbol of Israel. We just read about that, you know, in Luke 13 with the parable of the fig tree and the person who was tending that fig tree. If that is true, well, then they conclude the establishment of Israel in 1948 was this prophecy fulfilled. And so that means the coming of Jesus is what?
Yeah.
At the doors. Mm-hmm. So since 1948, we are really counting down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's where they get to. Mm-hmm. So let's find out what Luke 21 says. All right. So Luke 21, and this is where they connect some of these dots, but we need to take a closer look at Scripture. So in Luke 21, we won't take a look at, well, actually, why don't you read from verse 20 to verse 24 here, Jesus is describing the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple in 70 AD. So from verse 20 all the way through to verse 24.
But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
Okay, so here Jesus is saying that Jerusalem will be trampled. You know, the city will suffer incredible destruction. Mm-hmm. They will fall by the sword. They will be led away into captivity into all the nations. That's exactly what happened post 70 AD. Until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Mm. And then Jerusalem, Israel, will be restored back to the nation that once occupied it, God's people. That's how they interpret this. And then guess what follows? Verses 25 to 28, which is the second coming of Jesus. And Matthew 21, verses 25 to 28, is where we get the Looking Up Show name from.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have all that there. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is what follows in verse 29. So is Jesus here speaking of the literal nation of Israel? Is he speaking of, you know, the fulfillment of the Gentiles and the return of Israel back to its land? Or is he speaking of something else? Have a look at verses 29 to 31.
Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Okay. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words.
So what here Jesus is, so what Jesus here is speaking of, he's using the fig tree not here as a symbol of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But he's using here the fig tree as a symbol of the signs of the times.
And so he says here, look at the fig tree and the trees.
All the trees. And he's saying in connection with the seasons.
Right.
He's saying, you know, when you see the leaves coming back onto the trees.
Spring's coming.
And you know that summer is on its way.
Yeah.
Okay. When you see the leaves falling off.
Winter's coming.
Exactly. You're in autumn, winter's approaching. Mm-hmm. You know, summer and winter, they're kind of the two main seasons, wet and dry, mm-hmm. in that part of the world. So that's why Jesus, he's speaking here of the signs of his coming. He's not talking about the restoration of Jerusalem in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
That's not on his agenda. That's reading into the text.
Right.
And this is where the confusion is. This is where the confusion is. So let's, now that we've got that straight and now that we know what is being shared here by Jesus, he's speaking of the signs of the times and he's not specifically speaking of Israel being restored to the land of Palestine, the land of Israel, 1948. This is nothing to do with that at all. This is everything to do with the signs of the times. Completely 100% when you compare Matthew 24 and Luke 21, when we compare those two scriptures. All right. So then they ask, well, what about Ezekiel?
Hmm.
All right. There are passages, there are four chapters, Ezekiel 36 to 39, where God promises to regather his people again. And they see this as being fulfilled in 1948. In particular, they zero in and focus on chapter 38 and 39. Now, we don't have time to read through the entire chapter, but we're going to just read a couple of verses.
Mm-hmm.
Because here God describes Israel's victory over Gog from Magog that comes to attack Israel. But God gives his people victory. This is that whole battle of Armageddon.
Okay,
now we're getting to it. All right, so if you want to read Ezekiel 38,
mm-hmm.
And verses 1 to 3, please.
Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince, of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal.
Okay. Do you know...
Sorry, wrong one.
Poor Sharissa.
I just wanted to cough without coughing in everyone's ears.
See, because you're not a Malen cough. You can't cough. Exactly.
Sorry.
Oh, you've always wanted to do that, eh? Give me the good old mute. But anyway, all right. So here we've got Gog from the land of Magog, all right? And that ties in with Revelation, which we're going to get to in just a moment. But it says, you know, God says, I am coming against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh. And they see Rosh as Russia. Yeah, they see that as code language for Russia. Well, just from the word Rosh.
Okay.
They've just come up with it, but there's no other indication that this is Russia.
Right.
And so they see this as Russia, Meshach. I'm not sure who they refer to in the modern sense. That is Meshach and Tubal. I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. Haven't looked into that. Have a look at verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Of Ezekiel 38, verse 8, please.
After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those who brought you back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely.
Okay, so here God is saying after many days, or in the latter days, and also in verse 16, it will be in the latter days that I'll bring you against my land, you know, so that my nations may know you when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Now, there's only one other place in the Old Testament where Gog is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Only one other place.
Where is it?
And that's in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 4, and it's part of a genealogy, not a prophecy. Okay, it's simply part of a genealogy and not a prophecy in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you're going there, but we won't take time to read it. I know you're just probably just having a bit of a look for yourself.
Fact check, it's true.
So this phrase, after many days or in the latter days, God is saying at some future time, Gog and Magog will come against Israel, and I will defeat Gog from the land of Magog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guess what? In the Old Testament, there's absolutely no place where some army from the land of Gog, you know, or Gog from the land of Magog came against Israel. There is no place in the Old Testament. The only place is in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Remember, at some future time, the enemies of God that are described here in symbolic sense, as we'll discover, as Gog from the land of Magog, come against the Israel of God.
Oh, wow.
Aha.
That's powerful.
All right. Revelation 20.
Here we go.
So exciting. Revelation 20, 7 and 8.
All right.
I'm telling you, I was so excited as I was doing this Bible study, putting the pieces together. I was blown away because I've never seen this before
I'm excited too.
Okay. Revelation 20. So there's nothing, Gog and Magog in the Old Testament, nothing up until you get to Revelation.
Wow.
Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8.
Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea.
Mm-hmm. So here we have Satan and his hosts.
Mm-hmm.
They are described as Gog and Magog. This is at the end of the millennium, Sharissa.
Yes.
At the end of the millennium, Gog and Magog, okay, they are symbolic of Satan and his people. Sadly, or those that are lost, they gather around the New Jerusalem. Guess who's in the New Jerusalem?
The Israel of God.
Yes, the Israel of God. And they now seek to attack the Israel of God that is safe and secure in the New Jerusalem.
Amazing.
And then what happens? Verse 9.
The Bible says they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
God's enemies are destroyed. Satan and all of God's enemies are destroyed. Gog and Magog are destroyed at the end of time.
Amen.
This is a fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy in Ezekiel 38, which said in the latter days, in the future, this is that future time.
Mm.
So the prophecy is not in connection with literal physical Israel mm-hmm. in the land of Palestine today. No, this prophecy will be fulfilled at the end of the millennium when Satan seeks to muster his troops, all those that are lost, that have been raised up at the resurrection, at the resurrection of the unjust, the resurrection of the lost, and he will join them together in one final attempt to overthrow God and his kingdom and his people.
Amen.
But God intervenes. And guess who? Guess who is cast into the lake of fire? Verse 10.
The devil who deceived them, who was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Okay. So here you've got the devil, that's the dragon.
Yes.
The beast, that's the sea beast.
Yeah.
And the false prophet here is in reference to the lamb-like beast in Revelation 13. These three powers in Revelation 13 that combine and unite against the people of God, God says they will be destroyed. And sadly,
have
all those.
Nothing to do with it.
Exactly. And sadly, all those that put their faith and trust in the enemy. And so we need to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
That's the bottom line.
Amen.
That is the bottom line. So Israel of God will be victorious at the end of time. It's absolutely
because
crystal
clear.
Because
their names are in his book.
Absolutely. Could you read that for us, please? Verse 14 and 15 of Revelation 20.
Yes. The Bible says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Wow. And then what will God do? Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4.
And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Wow. That's how history ends.
Mm.
That's the beginning of eternity. Those who are safe and secure in God, they have overcome through Christ, and they are safe and secure forevermore.
Hallelujah. Let us listen to Jennifer Lisa bring us now. May the Lord find us faithful that we can be part of that Israel of God in the city.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey.
May the Lord
was just beautiful. May the Lord find us faithful. And that brings us to the end of an epic study.
Have we just come to the end again?
Yeah, but we landed in heaven.
We did.
That was a good place to finish.
I can't believe we actually completed that study. We did very well.
You did very well.
Didn't take 25 hours.
Amen.
Amen to that.
I appreciate that.
Amen to that.
How would you like
to wrap it up? All right, some closing thoughts, some wrapping up thoughts. So, folk, based on scriptures, we do not need to set our eyes on literal physical Israel, the rebuilding of a potential third temple, the reestablishment of the sacrifices, which have hit a snag according to this headline, news headline from, you know, where was it, March 10, 2025. Red heifer ceremony now cancelled. Rabbi gives update. You know, he says, at this moment, it is unclear whether we have in our possession in Israel a red heifer that is verifiably kosher and suited for the ceremony. And this quest for the perfect red heifer is a requirement for the purification rites of the third temple, according to scripture. So whilst Christians, many Christians are looking to physical Israel, literal Israel, misunderstanding the prophecies of the Bible in connection with Israel, we do not need to be confused. We do not need to look in the wrong place. We can look in the right place because Scripture has given us the evidence. And so today God is calling all people, both Jews and Gentiles, everyone is calling them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate fulfillment of the covenant. He is the ultimate son of Abraham. He is the son of God. He is the son of David. You know, Jesus Christ, he is the one. There is no new covenant that God will establish with the literal children of Israel. There isn't. We've just looked at scripture. All are now one in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I want to encourage our listeners to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Amen. And really allow his plan for your life, whether you're a Jew listening to this, whether you're a Gentile, whether you are whatever, that you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And I just want to finish off with these beautiful scriptures. We landed in Revelation 21. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these words are for all, where God says in Revelation 21, verse 5 to 7, I love these words. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
Amen.
And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Mm. And then notice verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Amen.
I will be his God. He will be my son. She will be my daughter. Can you see God's plan? From the very beginning of time, when he created Adam and Eve, he didn't create Jews, he didn't create Gentiles, he created the human race through Adam and Eve. Will once again be restored as one human race under God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Would you close in prayer for
Absolutely.
Us?
Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for the promises of your word. We thank you and praise you for the clarity of your word. And there's so many more questions, I'm sure, in this space, which I pray we'll have an opportunity to unpack from your word in the coming days. But Father, we thank you for the clarity. We thank you that all who are in Christ, no matter where they live, what their background, what their nationality, Lord, if they accept you as Lord and Savior, they are part of the Israel of God.
Yes.
They have made a decision to receive that water of life that you give freely, and you have promised that you will be their God and they will be your son and your daughter for all eternity. That's our prayer, that we may be part of this group. Our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for taking that study. I learned a lot, actually, as we went through that. And I hope that our listeners also enjoyed it and learned something that they can share even with somebody else. As we're looking forward to next week, I believe we're both here next week.
Yep, we're both here next week, yes.
Because there is a big camp coming.
There is. There's a couple of weeks when we won't be here. So we're going to see what happens. But next week we'll be here.
We'll be
God
here.
Willing.
Is there a part 4? Are we going to a
new
topic?
Well, we can tap into Daniel 9 and the 7 70-week, because there's that 7-week prophecy, right, which many Christians believe is that 7-year tribulation. So maybe we should do a study on that just to tie off that loose end.
All right. So part 4 next week, Daniel chapter 9. I believe it's also a forbidden chapter.
It is, verses 24 to 27. If you want to read that in the meantime and just meditate on that, prepare yourself, yes.
Excellent. Well, stay on this channel. There's another live show coming from Adelaide right after this one. But as we leave you, remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. May God bless you and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up, should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.